the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you. And we do it today on that theme of joy, of happiness, that we find when we are close to you. We open the Gospel of the Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, St. John's Gospel in the 20th chapter, and there we read, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." And Lord, we can imagine the scene. It is that Sunday of your resurrection. The disciples are gathered there in the upper room with the door shut for fear of the Jews, filled with wonderment, filled with sadness. You had died 2 days before. They had hoped that you would come down from the cross, but you didn't. You were dead and you were buried. But on this first Easter Sunday, the women have gone to the tomb. They find it empty and they come back to the apostles to say that they have seen a vision of angels saying that you are not there, that you are risen. And then Mary Magdalene sees you. And she undoubtedly reported that to the disciples. And then St. Peter comes back. He has seen you, and we don't know the circumstances. And then late that night, the two disciples who are on their way to Emmaus, and they come back excited. They have left disconsolate in the afternoon. They come back excited in the evening to say that they have seen you and recognized you in the breaking of the bread. And the others don't know what to make of all of this. Are you alive or not? Did these others really see you? And then you enter and you pass through those closed doors. You say, "Peace be with you," and the joy of seeing you. And then you show them the wounds in your hands and your side. And as St. John relates, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Lord, everyone is happy when they find you, and we are too. The closer we are to you, the happier we will be. And you want everyone to be happy. You said that in the Last Supper, just 3 days before. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Joy. You want everyone to have your joy, and you are joyful because you are with the Father and the Holy Spirit. You are God, and how can you not be happy? And you want your joy to be shared by all. You have come that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we find joy not only in heaven. There it is supreme and definitive. We find it already here on earth to the extent that we are close to you. And St. Paul writes that to the Philippians in those very familiar words. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand." Where do we find joy? In you. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is at hand. You are walking beside us. You are looking after us in your providence. You are loving us. having loved us to the end, having died on the cross for us. The closer we are to you, the happier we will be. And there's a very simple reason for that. And it is the very nature of happiness, of joy, which is sometimes described as the passion that follows upon the possession of a good. The passion, the emotion, the feeling that comes when we find a good. And that good can be as simple as reading a good book, seeing a good film, enjoying a good meal, going on a holiday, buying new clothes or a new car. Simple things. They are goods. They give us joy. But they're not the supreme joy that we will have in heaven, nor are they definitive. Those goods come and go. The meal ends. The film ends. The new car, the new clothes become old. And because they are only finite goods, they cannot give us that complete happiness that only you can give us, because you are the infinite good. When we find you here on earth, and especially in heaven, we are most happy. You are the infinite good. And Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. When we find you, when we have you in our heart, and you are in our heart, you are in our mind, you are in our soul, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity, the more we are aware of that reality, the happier we will be. And so we find you, we find happiness, or we can say holiness, sanctity is happiness. And St. Jose Maria said that very succinctly. Do you want to be happy? Be holy. More happy, more holy. Extremely happy, extremely holy. Because holiness is love for you. It is having you in our heart. And the more we have you in our heart, the more holy we are, the happier we will be. And we give thanks to Pope Francis for giving us a new apostolic exhortation entitled Gaudete et Exultate, Rejoice and Be Glad. One of the themes of Pope Francis's writings is joy. He gave us the joy of the gospel, Evangelii Gaudium. He gave us the joy of love, Amoris Laetitia. And now he gives us rejoice and be glad, Gaudete et Exultate. Rejoice and be glad because we are seeking you. And the first lines of that document read, Rejoice and be glad. Jesus tells those persecuted or humiliated for his sake. The Lord asks everything of us, and in return he offers us true life, the happiness for which we were created. If we find you, Lord, we find the happiness for which we were created, and help us to find you. And later in this document, there is a section entitled Joy and a Sense of Humor. These are the characteristics of holiness. And the Pope writes, far from being timid, morose, acerbic or melancholy, or putting on a dreary face, the saints are joyful and full of good humor. Though completely realistic, they radiate a positive and hopeful spirit. The Christian life is joy in the Holy Spirit, for the necessary result of the love of charity is joy, since every lover rejoices at being united to the beloved. The effect of charity is joy. And the Pope there is quoting St. Thomas Aquinas from his Summa Theologiae. The more we love, the happier we will be. And the Pope goes on, having received the beautiful gift of God's word, we embrace it in much affliction with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. Quoting there St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And the Pope continues, if we allow the Lord to draw us out of our shell and change our lives, then we can do as St. Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And what he says about the saints, far from being melancholy, acerbic, sad, they were full of joy, all of them. And I think of St. Jose Maria, with whom I lived very closely for 2 years. He was always happy. He was so cheerful. He had that good humor that he wanted all of us to have. And he said on various occasions, I leave you as my inheritance in the human sphere, love for freedom and good humor. That was his inheritance to his children in Opus Dei and to all that would come in contact with his work, the inheritance of love for freedom and good humor. He also said, to lose good humor is a grave matter. Good humor until the moment of death. And also, my children, that you be happy. I am. I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be looking at my life, my poor life. But I am happy because I see that the Lord seeks me out time and again, that our Lord continues being my Father. And that is the source of our happiness. Yes, our poor life, our poor, sinful life, but God seeks us out. He is our Father. And then we find that joy. And we continue with Pope Francis in Gaudete et Exultate. The prophets proclaimed the times of Jesus in which we now live as a revelation of joy. Shout and sing for joy, from Isaiah. Get you up to a high mountain, O herald of good tidings to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings to Jerusalem. Also Isaiah. And another quote from him, break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted. And again from Zechariah, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Nor should we forget Nehemiah's exhortation. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Lord, help us to be happy. Lord, help us to be close to you so that we have that joy. We always have it. And the Pope goes on, now referring to Our Lady. Mary, recognizing the newness that Jesus brought, saying, my spirit rejoices. And Jesus himself rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. As he passed by, all the people rejoiced. After his resurrection, wherever the disciples went, there was much joy. Jesus assures us, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And again, Lord, all of those quotations about your life from the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, but rejoicing in you, and our joy will be full if we have you really present. And help us to do that, to seek you in our prayer, to seek you in the sacraments, to seek you in our penance, to be emptied of ourselves so that we can be more filled with you, and to seek you in others. The more we serve others, the more we find you, and we find joy. And the Pope, in a later point, number 126, speaks about the happiness of the saints. Christian joy is usually accompanied by a sense of humor. We see this clearly, for example, in St. Thomas More, St. Vincent de Paul, and St. Philip Neri. Ill humor is no sign of holiness. Remove vexation from your mind, the Pope quotes the book of Ecclesiasticus. We receive so much from the Lord for our enjoyment, St. Paul writing to Timothy, that sadness can be a sign of ingratitude. We can get so caught up in ourselves that we are unable to recognize God's gifts. And in a footnote, the Pope encourages us to say a prayer attributed to St. Thomas More. That prayer reads, "Grant me, O Lord, good digestion, and also something to digest. Grant me a healthy body, and the necessary good humor to maintain it. Grant me a simple soul that knows to treasure all that is good and that doesn't frighten easily at the sight of evil, but rather finds the means to put things back in their place. Give me a soul that knows not boredom, grumbling, sighs, and laments, nor excess of stress because of that obstructing thing called I. Grant me, O Lord, a sense of good humor. Allow me the grace to be able to take a joke and to discover in life a bit of joy and to be able to share it with others." What a beautiful prayer. Lord, help us to find you, to find happiness. And then we can be happy even when we are suffering. Can a person be happy when they have pain, when they have the various tribulations that life brings? Of course. Because over and above whatever pains we have you. We have the source of our joy in you. And we see this in so many different persons. Let us read once again, because we have used these words in other meditations, those words in the diary of a woman from Canberra dying of cancer. On one day she wrote, "The pain in my chest is crushing me, as the pain crushed you as you struggled to breathe while you hung on the cross. You are in my pain. I am in yours. We are one, my God and I. What else can I ever ask for?" How beautiful. And this woman is the sort of saint that Pope Francis is speaking about in his latest document. Those saints in the middle of the world, those saints next door, those ordinary faithful, those middle class people. He speaks about the sanctity of the middle class. Ordinary people who are indeed saints, and anyone that can write when she has crushing pain in her chest that she is one with you, the pain crushed you as you hung on the cross, and she says, "We are one, my God and I. What else can I ever ask for?" She goes on, "In this you have given me proof of your love." Proof of your love, not proof that you don't know me, that you don't love me, that you have abandoned me. No, proof of your love, because you share your cross, your pain with me. She goes on, "I can see it so clearly. I cannot pray for a cure. I can only wait for your next move, and I am willing." Happiness, no matter what the circumstances. And Pope Francis, in his earlier document, The Joy of the Gospel, Evangelii Gaudium, writes, "Sometimes we are tempted to find excuses and complain, acting as if we could only be happy if 1,000 conditions were met. To some extent, this is because our technological society has succeeded in multiplying occasions of pleasure, yet has found it very difficult to engender joy. I can say that the most beautiful and natural expressions of joy which I have seen in my life were in poor people who had little to hold on to. I also think of the real joy shown by others who, even amid pressing professional obligations, were able to preserve in detachment and simplicity a heart full of faith. In their own way, all these instances of joy flow from the infinite love of God, who has revealed himself to us in Christ Jesus. I never tire of repeating those words of Benedict XVI, which take us to the very heart of the gospel. Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. Lord, this is where we find happiness in you, because being a Christian is an encounter with you. Help us to encounter you, to have us in our heart always. Then, even in the midst of our pains, of our afflictions, we will be happy. And St. John Chrysostom says in one of his homilies, "What could perturb a saint? Death? No, for he desires it as a prize. Insults? No, for Christ taught us to bear them. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you. Illnesses? Not that either. For Scripture reminds us, accept whatever befalls you. In crushing misfortune, be patient. For in fire, gold is tested, and worthy men in the crucible of humiliation." From the book of Sirach. What remains then that could upset a saint? Nothing. In this world, even joy usually ends in sadness. But for those who live their lives according to Christ, even troubles are turned into joy. And Lord, this is the reality. And help us to see, even in our troubles, you, your cross that you are doing the favor of sharing with us because you love us. And you say that, "Those I love, I chastise." And sometimes we wonder, but how could God let someone whom he loves suffer? We only need consider, Lord, your relationship with the Father, because you are the beloved Son in whom the Father was well pleased. The Father loves you more than anyone, and you suffered more than anyone. Lord, help us to realize that when we suffer, God is showing us too that he loves us. That we find you even in the midst of our suffering, and then we will find happiness. And more words of Pope Francis in his apostolic exhortation. With the love of a father, God tells us, "My son, treat yourself well. Do not deprive yourself of a happy day." And this is from the book of Sirach. He wants us to be positive, grateful, and uncomplicated. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. God created human beings straightforward, but they have devised many schemes. From the book of Ecclesiasticus. Whatever the case, we should remain resilient and imitate St. Paul. "I have learned to be content with what I have," writing to the Philippians. St. Francis of Assisi lived by this. He could be overwhelmed with gratitude before a piece of hard bread, or joyfully praise God simply for the breeze that caressed his face. And Pope Francis continues, "This is not the joy held out by today's individualistic and consumerist culture. Consumerism only bloats the heart. It can offer occasional and passing pleasures, but not joy. Here I am speaking of a joy lived in communion, which shares and is shared, since there is more happiness in giving than in receiving." From the Acts of the Apostles. And God loves a cheerful giver. St. Paul to the Corinthians. Fraternal love increases our capacity for joy, since it makes us capable of rejoicing in the good of others. Rejoice with those who rejoice. St. Paul to the Romans. We rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. St. Paul to the Corinthians. On the other hand, when we focus primarily on our own needs, we condemn ourselves to a joyless existence. And Lord, this is the secret of happiness. This is the secret of our constant joy, being close to you, loving you, holiness. Then the joy will be there. The joy has always been there in the lives of the saints. What can take away our joy is sin. That we must admit. When we separate ourselves from you, especially by mortal sin, then we can be down. We understand that, but we have the remedy. You have given us the remedy. You have given us the sacrament of penance. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. You said that on the very evening of your resurrection. The apostles were there, and you came and said, "Peace be with you." And you gave them the sacrament of peace, which we have so readily available. When we sin, let us say that act of perfect contrition, sorrow of love, with the intention of going to confession at the first opportunity, and we regain the state of grace immediately. Of course, we can't go to communion until we have been to confession, but we're back in the state of grace. Our joy returns, and then we go to confession. The priest absolves us, and we have that overwhelming joy of knowing you have embraced us like the Father embraced the prodigal son. And we are with you in a true sense once again. We are with you in a full sense once again. Help us to go often to the sacrament of joy, the sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of penance. Then we will always be happy. And we finish our prayer going to Our Lady. We call her cause of our joy. Why do we call her that? Because she brings us you, and you are the cause of our joy. The closer we are to you, to God, the more we love you, the happier we will be. And Mary takes you to others. She takes you to Elizabeth and to John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. And they rejoice, and John the Baptist leaps for joy in the womb of his mother. Wherever you are, joy is found. And Mary brings us joy. Mary, you were happy too. You could only be the happiest person on earth because you were the closest to God. Bring us closer to Jesus. Help us to struggle for holiness, for love for God, so that we too can be exceedingly happy. We will be happy here, and we will be exceedingly happy in heaven with that supreme, definitive happiness that heaven is. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.